This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We will be travelling today to not just Texas, but West Texas. Mm. You know, when I looked it up, I actually found there is a town in Texas called West.
Oh.
I got really confused at that point. So I guess it's probably a good time for me to introduce our guest, Carrie Hutchinson, editor of Get Lost Magazine, Nat Geographic Australia, and content director of Grin Creative. Thanks for coming in, Carrie.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we've had the marvellous Carrie on before talking all about Hawaii, which is one of my favourite destinations.
My favourite place on earth.
Well, I'm so glad we agree on that. It is fun, but today we are not talking tropics. We are talking deserts and art and like all the kooky
borders and
borders.
And the good thing that we've just found out from Carrie is there is no border wall with Mexico.
Well, I didn't see a border wall or there was a lot of talk of border walls, but no actual
wall. Could it be an underground wall?
Yeah, I don't know where they are, the underground wall. Or maybe already that bit of wall that they built has been knocked over because you could push it over, as everyone proved.
That's right. I think that it's going to be... we will not hear the end of this wall, as we know.
Now, we were talking about podcasts before, but why not check out one of Joy's greatest podcasts? On Outtakes, the team celebrates the theatrical release of the live-action Dumbo film by Tim Burton's other films through a queer lens. Colette Mann and Jeff Payne join Tom and Mikey to discuss all things Neighbours and their show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And Hence joins David and Sue to talk comedy festival and song that start with the letter H. All this podcast and many more available wherever you get your podcast. Joy Podcast, where you want them, when you want them.
Well said, Stefan. I love it. So, yes, now we are moving on. Now, Carrie, a little bit of news that you have, because I recently noticed somebody who I know and you know is in Sri Lanka recently, and they were posting on their Facebook page. What is it about Sri Lanka?
I'm not sure. Well, I think it's, for so long it was a place that Australians really didn't go because of the problems there.
Yeah.
And suddenly we've discovered it. It's quite safe. It's beautiful. And now, apparently, I read this in the newspaper, that Australians who are kind of like, oh, yeah, we've been to Bali, are now setting their sights on Sri Lanka. So watch out, Sri Lankans.
Mm. Yeah, watch out.
So we don't really want it to become the new Bali,
no.
Though, because it's really, it's quite spectacular, some of the places in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
It's very safe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's very safe. And I went there. I've been there 11 years ago during the war, which wasn't probably the best thing to do, but at the time. And having gone back 10 years later, it's changed dramatically.
So, Stefan, have you been back there for a holiday as well as work?
No, but I had a little bit of time. This is the second time I've been this year, and I had a little bit of time last time to explore Colombo, only Colombo, and a little bit on the coast, but not
well,
much.
You know what I'm going to do is put a call out to our listeners. If anyone has been to Sri Lanka and wants to come on the show and talk about it, because I don't know if we've had anyone on talking about Sri Lanka for a very long time, and we'd love to hear your point of view. So give us a bell or drop us an email and let us know if you are interested coming on and talking about Sri Lanka. We're not going to call it the new Bali, we're just going to call it the new destination.
It's hot.
No, it is hot.
And wet.
In more ways than one.
But we are taking a trip to West Texas, aren't we?
I know, Western Texas.
Why West Texas?
Carrie, tell us all about why Western Texas?
I've been fascinated for quite a number of years by a small town in West Texas called Marfa, which some people go, oh, yeah, and some people go, where? It's literally 2,000 people, but it's full of art because the New York artist Donald Judd, who works in installation works, so big pieces, moved to the town in the 70s, bought half the town, and he's since died. But there's a couple of foundations that keep his legacy alive. They've got plenty of money to keep everything up to date. And so it's, of course, artists attract artists, so there's quite a big contemporary scene there. Lots of people who either have moved there permanently or have bought a place in Marfa that they winter in, because you probably wouldn't summer there if you had the choice.
No, it'd be like 40 or 50 degrees.
45 degrees. Ooh. And high desert. It's very dry, very dusty, but it's also incredibly beautiful.
So I'm just trying to get like a visual on this. So there's the town, and then there's like large-scale sort of sculptural installations, or is it indoors, or how does that kind of play out?
There's the main town, which is not very big. You could walk around it in about 3 minutes. There are some buildings in the town, but then you walk out of town maybe 10 minutes, and that's the main part of the Chinati Foundation. So the Chinati Foundation look after the Judd's gallery spaces. And he bought... There's so many forts in Texas that I always remember, forget which fort he bought. So he bought Fort Russell in 1979, and he's basically left it as it was, as an army fort. He's got 15 amazing, huge concrete structures that he made. Two giant artillery sheds where he's got 100 of his metal boxes all installed. There's six barracks that are kind of U-shaped, and they've got Dan Flavin's neon fluorescent light installations installed.
Right, Dan Flavin was a New York artist as well, was it? Or is?
Yeah. Judd brought a lot of his friends in and offered them space to do work, let them do whatever they like. Mm. There was an army hospital that an artist called Robert Irwin loved, but it was crumbling. Mm. And he realised he couldn't use the building. So what they did was they removed the building and he rebuilt it as it would have been. And basically it's just one giant sort of art piece. So you walk in, it's the same shape. There's these scrims inside, so one half's light and one half's dark, and then the beautiful window frames that would have been there originally. And he treats them like a Dutch landscape, sort of, so you kind of have this amazing view out these beautifully framed windows. It's just incredible.
Do you think that James Turrell has ever been out there and done an installation? James Turrell, of course, is the well-known American artist who you could see his work at MoNA in Tasmania.
I don't know if Turrell has been out there, but it
sounds
right up his alley. It would fit.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, there are several places around the world that art lovers go to. Like, you've got Naoshima, of course, which is the art island in Japan.
Later in the year, hopefully.
Oh, it's so good. And there are other high-quality destinations for people that are real art lovers. But I think that, you know, you obviously... don't need to be an art lover to go out there. You just might love like spectacles and unusual spaces. And
yeah, and I think just the beauty of the landscape, and you know, it's quite an interesting town. Apart from that, there's lots of designers and beautiful like small stores where everything's handmade and artisan, and lovely little restaurants and cafes that are all a bit kooky because art people are a bit kooky. It's attracted a very unusual crowd, and they're good people. But there's also like just the regular like ranchers around town.
I love the mix.
Yeah, it's an amazing mix. And you know, you're in the country. I walked past a truck on the main street, and almost had a heart attack because it mooed at me because there's a truck full of cows, but I couldn't see them. It was a solid wall with a window around the top.
I hope those cows were not well. They probably weren't going to a happy place.
Maybe not.
Probably not. The state of stakes. Mm. Now, but you were there for a specific reason beyond looking at the art. You were there for an art event.
Yes. So there's an organisation in the US called Field Trip, which they kind of used, I think when it started, they sold as sort of like an adult summer camp. And now it's very photography focused and creativity. So they invite people, you just buy a ticket basically. And it's 3 days of photography workshops, creativity workshops, fun and dance parties and,
damn,
you know.
I wanna go.
It was really good fun, and it attracts a really, again, a really unusual mix of people. There are quite a few Australians there, I was surprised, because Marfa is very hard to get to. But people like photographers from Austin and Oregon and some of the most incredible work you've ever seen. And, like, we did a photo workshop, like a photo walk around Marfa with one of the guys who created Yo Gabba Gabba. So it was pretty
cool.
That's
really fun.
yeah, you wouldn't have wanted to have any of the peyote on that day because there were people dressed up in weird costumes and lots of weird stuff going on.
Oh, that sounds really, really fun. And inclusive, obviously. Like, yeah. Lots of, you know, open to anyone.
Absolutely. All sorts of people there.
Now, you mentioned briefly there that Marfa is hard to get to. So we just need to understand, how dedicated do you have to be to get there?
So you fly from hopefully from Melbourne to LA to Denver to El Paso. Generally, you can get a train from El Paso to a town down the road called Midland, but the train tracks were being worked on. So I caught the bus, the Greyhound bus, which, because it has to go, you have to catch one bus and then another, takes 8 long hours, many of which are spent sitting in a petrol station in a place called Fort Stockton, which is basically a petrol station in the middle of nowhere. If you did it direct, if you drove, I don't drive.
So you could hire a car.
If you hired a car from El Paso, 3 hours.
Okay.
And thankfully, some people took pity on me on the way back and gave me a lift back to El Paso.
Yeah, you told them you came on the bus and they were like, no.
No, you're not.
Well, you know, you had the full experience.
I did.
I mean, going on a Greyhound bus is kind of like part of an experience.
Yeah. I didn't think the Greyhound bus to Fort Stockton was going to make it. The first hill we went up, the bus was churning and I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to take 18 hours. But the bus driver pulled over to the side of the road. I was like, this is it. We're not going any further, but he let it cool down and then it was fine.
Oh.
I've never been so happy to get to a petrol station in the middle of nowhere in my entire life.
So none of these travails should prevent anyone from giving it a go, because the end result is completely worth
it. It's so much fun. I don't know what Marfa would be like without I think there were 500 people at Field Trip. So I don't know what it would be like without those 500 people. I hear that people go there on spring break, which I think is unusual. So it probably would attract an unusual spring breaker, one would think.
It sounds like a place to go and meet lots of interesting people. And you did have lots of cool meetings there and interact with interesting people.
Yeah, and, like, there's old retro motels and there's a beautiful new motel. There was actually an old building called the St. George, which has a beautiful bookshop downstairs and a fantastic cocktail bar, and it's very chichy. And you look out the window and the long-distance trains that are 3 miles long just go shooting past, like, 7 times a day, and just incredible.
Well, you know, the retro motel is a little bit of a theme. You know, this weekend in Charlton is OK Motel. It's OK Hotel. And it's a music festival in a 1970s hotel complex in Charlton, which
I've heard about that.
Northwest Victoria, you know, just outside of Bendigo.
Mm.
A bunch of my friends are going. You've got Cash Savage playing. I think it's... Well, it's all a bit late now.
I was going to say, what are we doing here?
You could actually get there now, you know, if you leave now. But anyway, so to the retro motel, it's a bit of a thing happening.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You know, I think that whole story that Carrie was telling us, and I'm sorry if you didn't tune in before, but it was fascinating about this art part up of Western Texas, which sounds so obscure. But to El Paso, which is, you've got to go to El Paso to get to Marfa.
To get to Marfa, basically. And, you know, I thought, do I want to go to El Paso? I don't really know. But, you know, you got it going through, in for a penny, in for a pound. So I decided to stay for a few nights and then kind of went, I don't know what I'm going to do in this town. And it's not a massive town, but it is right on the border of Mexico. Like, you walk through downtown El Paso, which is a beautiful downtown. All these amazing old architectural gems, some of them boarded up, but just gorgeous, all made by the same man, by an architect called Trost, who lived there but was from Chicago. So there's a bit of that influence, and also the sort of desert influence as well in his work. But anyway, so you walk through downtown El Paso over the bridge and you're in downtown Juarez.
So there's no wall.
There's no wall. There's a bridge over the Rio Grande, which is, you know, and when I hear the word Rio Grande, I kind of imagine this wide surging river, and it's like a puddle. It's like a trickle. Oh.
Well, that's obviously just the Rio Grande in that section. I mean, yes. I have done some, I've spent quite a bit of time in New Mexico over the years. Not lately, but I did go, when I lived in the States, I went to New Mexico like 3 or 4 times. I just loved it. But I did spend some time on the Rio Grande when it's, you know, there's a really deep sort of cavernous with these giant walls, and then you sort of wander down and sit in these hot springs right on the Rio Grande. However, that's another journey. We are in Juarez / El Paso.
Yes. So when I arrived in El Paso and the Uber driver was driving me from the airport, he said, "What are you going to do while you're in El Paso?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. On Sunday I'm going to Juarez." He goes, "Don't go to Juarez.
Don't go to Juarez.
And since then I've had friends go, "When I heard you were in Juarez, I almost died."
So why?
Well, Juarez has a very bad reputation for good reason.
Okay.
So 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it was the most dangerous city in the world. No holds barred. Now it's only about the 37th most dangerous city in the world because there's a lot of factors, a lot of cartel action. A lot of young women went missing between 1993 and 2003.
When you say a lot, how many, Carrie?
Well, it depends who you talk to. So I think officially, like if you read the official thing, about 400 murdered and then another maybe 600 just disappeared.
And that's the ones that have been reported as well.
Yeah, exactly. See, these are all poor young women who work in factories because that was a big industry because they're so close to the American border. So they make things cheaply on the Mexican side. Yeah, so, and cartel, and the head of the biggest cartel was caught, but then kind of new cartels moved in. So El Chapo's mob are there, and it kind of goes up and down. But the moral of this story is, don't go to Juarez at night or on your own, and only go to Juarez. Is a massive city, like it spreads out forever. I went with a guy called Rich, who is a walking tour guide, and he's been going there since the 1970s, and he knows the town. Don't leave the downtown area. You just got to stay in the bit that everyone goes to.
In El Paso, this is?
No, this is in Juarez. So Rich is from El Paso. Up until the 9/11, it was an open border. People just walked across back and forth, and, of course, now it's closed. And that's caused a lot of heartache for the people of Juarez, I guess, because, you know, they kind of relied on that. But so he started going there in the 70s with his family. They'd go over there to shop, do their weekly shopping in the market. Then as he got to be a teenager, him and his mates used to go over there and party because Juarez was like Vegas back in the day. And he showed me photographs, and it's like neon and bars and people everywhere and like glamorous. Then when all the trouble started, of course, all that stopped. The mayor over there has kind of tried to get tourists back. They launched a campaign that's Juarez is waiting for you. Juarez is waiting for you is their campaign.
They should have just done no worries, Juarez.
Yeah, exactly. So we went on a Sunday. We walked through downtown El Paso. You could have, like, oh, no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say what Donald Trump said. Like, there was literally not a single person around. And you go into downtown Juarez and there's people everywhere.
Right.
There's this ginormous square with the customs house on it, which is now the Museum of the Revolution, about the Mexican Revolution, which is very interesting if you're into history. And like bands and people dancing and just street vendors selling food, and there's just this life to it. And it was incredible. And we went to some bars. One is the oldest or the second oldest, depending on who you speak to, bar in Juarez. And we sat down, met the owner, we drank Sotol, which is like tequila but made from a different plant. Had a couple of beers. The guys behind the bar brought out the canitas and we had those for breakfast. We went...
So you're saying that you were drinking a tequila-like substance for breakfast?
It was 11 o'clock.
Okay. Well, when in Rome.
And then Rich said to me, oh, do you want to go to like a bar that's not quite as nice as this, but it's pretty interesting? And I went, sure. So we went to El Cid, which is the pool hall, and it's like dirt floor, low ceilings. You walk through a tarp to get in there, and there's these just full of men playing normal pool, but also three cushion billiards, which is the most crazy full-on game. Like, if you can master this game, you've obviously misspent your youth.
So it's not a pool table with three corners?
No, it's a normal pool table with no pockets.
Right.
You have three balls, a white, a red and a yellow. You have to hit the white, and it has, basically you have to hit the three cushions away from you and the two coloured balls. And for that you get a point. And then you have to play to X number of points. I'm not quite sure how many. It's some odd rules. And if I played that game, we'd still be playing 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
But there were these guys who would, like, get four shots in a row. And I was just, like, going, what the? And it was full, like, there's blokes drinking quarts of beer, like those big bottles. Mm. That's what they serve there. And the Sotol at El Cid comes out of a four-litre plastic jug. But it's not as strong as the one that you get in the bottle because it hasn't been distilled for quite as long. And it's smokier because they cook the, like, a hungy, the succulent under the ground.
So it's not like an agave.
It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just a slightly different plant that they get naturally there.
And yes. So from because as we know, Tex-Mex is a form of cuisine.
Yes.
As we know well. So maybe what we could do is just touch on, like, the food that you ate there.
So everything in West Texas has chili in it, pretty much.
And because they have such a wide variety of chilies,
yes.
I mean, in the southern parts of the US, there are chilies that you can't get in the northern parts of the US.
So, and often, so like even at, you'd have mashed potatoes and they would have those smoked adobe kind of chilies, like cut up and through the mashed potato. I had smoked salmon on toast one morning, chilies.
Yeah.
Everything had chilies in it. So I don't know how you go, but like even the Dairy Queen in Texas. So Dairy Queen is everywhere through the states, pretty much, I think.
Ice cream parlor.
Yes. And also hamburger joint.
Right.
In Texas, they have Jalitos, which are deep fried jalapenos that go onto the burgers. So like, yeah. But I love that. And so, and even like cocktails in a fancy bar, like the Capri at Marfa did a old fashioned that has made out of tequila and got chilies in it. Because why not?
So chilies are the thing.
I don't know how you'd go if you didn't like chilies.
But overall, though, the food is largely, I mean, in El Paso and down in Marfa, is it more Mexican overall or is it still a real blend of Mexican and American?
You can get both.
Right.
So you do get very straight Mexican food.
Yep.
Which, you know, is all wrapped in tortillas and stuff.
Delicious.
Amazing. Tends not to have, like, a ton of guac and a ton of cheese and a ton of sour cream. So you get the, you know, your pulled meat with a little bit of salsa and stuff and in a tiny little thing and you just eat 50 of those.
Right, well, because, you know, Mexican food in Mexico or in that area is probably not, it's certainly not like Mexican food as you see it reinterpreted in the West,
no.
Which is massive plates filled with, as you say, guacamole and with sour cream that's just dripping off the edge of the plate. Well, we will, I would really love some Mexican right now.
Afterwards.
Maybe after the show, but we've got one more segment left, so guys, stay tuned. We will be right back.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
We've been travelling around West Texas. We started in Marfa, which is the destination that Carrie was specifically after, looking and hunting art and artisan installations and all that sort of other incredible stuff. We popped over to El Paso because you have to fly into El Paso to get there.
You do.
So we were just touching on El Paso. We were just eating our way and drinking our way around El Paso briefly.
And Juarez. Was it Juarez?
In Juarez, yes.
Juarez,
which
across
is
across the border.
Across the Rio Grande. And technically in Mexico, Mexico. but on the journey, I mean, as they say, all travel is, you know, it's the journey, not the destination. And in actual fact, there were aspects of your journey down towards Marfa, and there are some other reasons why you should even go there.
Yeah, well, if you hire a car and drive from El Paso, it's about 3 hours. The landscape is pretty standard the whole way, but you come across some interesting things. The first one, we stopped at a service station where they had a chili shop, which was pretty cool, except that you can't bring any of that stuff back into the country, so it's such a waste.
Oh, back into Australia, that yeah. is. What about dried chilies? Can you bring that in?
I don't know. I think, well, you could try, but you'd have to declare them and say to the man, I bought it in Texas, and they might chuck them. As long as you declare it, they can chuck it if it's not right.
I think that if things are dried and they're in sealed packages, I think that you can, well, certainly you do have to declare it.
Yep. And unfortunately, they bottle all their chili sauce in glass, because I was wandering around one shopping centre tapping all the chili sauces and someone said, what are you doing? I'm going, looking for the plastic ones, but they don't bottle in plastic.
It's probably corrosive to plastic, isn't it? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. I guess it depends on how powerful the chili is. Yes.
But you keep driving, and the first interesting place you come to is a town called Valentine. Sounds beautiful, but it's not. It's a tiny town that most people have moved out of and is sort of starting to crumble, and it feels super creepy, and I can't really put my finger on why it feels really creepy, but we had one of the girls I was driving with wouldn't get out of the car. And then I told that to a friend of mine who'd been there, and she said, oh, no, my friend wouldn't get out of the car either. But it was weird because it's not completely deserted, but you can't really tell where the people are. Like, you'll see a curtain twitching or a dog or something, and that's all the life.
The latest census, that was 2010, it had 134 inhabitants.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, that's
I would have thought more like 13. You know,
but, trusted Wikipedia is telling us.
Oh, okay. So maybe we just didn't look in the right... It's all set, like everything, it's all set along the road on either side.
Yeah.
They were all behind curtains watching.
Yeah, twitching.
We didn't see them.
It sounds like something really bad happened there once upon a time.
I think that you could probably make a really good movie in Valentine, a super creepy one.
Well, isn't that part of, you know, when you're travelling around the United States, you walk into so many sort of environments and go, oh, am I on a film set?
Yeah. And I've been to places in the States where we've walked in and it's like, you know those movies where the saloon doors swing and the whole bar goes quiet? Been there.
Yeah. I think I've been in that situation going into an RSL in the south coast of New South Wales.
Yeah, probably. Mm.
Had the same effect on the crowd.
I'm sorry. It was it. Is there some art exhibition around there?
I think. You go just outside of Valentine is... this is what most people would know Marfa for. It's the Prada Marfa, which is a little art installation that's a Prada store just on the side of the road. And you know when it's coming up because there's 20 cars parked up and people taking photographs of it, and you walk up to it and there's actually like handbags and shoes in it, but it's an art installation. But it's called Prada Marfa, but it's 60 k's out of Marfa. Mm. So you've still got quite a way to go. Once you've done that, but then you keep going, and some man has... Oh, so one of Martha's great claim to fame, apart from Donald Judd, is Giant with James Dean, his last movie, Elizabeth Taylor and Rock Hudson was shot there.
That is quite significant.
That is massive, and there's still a lot of that sort of memorabilia around the town, including some man has built in his paddock a giant billboard cut out with the three of them, that people stop and take photographs of with the mountains in the background. And there's even like a solar-powered speaker where the theme song plays through like over and over and over again.
That is so kooky. And I would have thought that the billboard might have been that famous James Dean shot of him with his feet up.
Yeah, I think it is. I've got a photo on my phone, but I'd have to look it up. But I'm pretty sure. And then there's Rock Hudson and Elizabeth Taylor in the background, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I think I know exactly the scene. It's an iconic image.
Yeah.
So what other remnants of the film Giant are left?
So there's a beautiful old hotel in town called the Hotel Paisano, which is where they all stayed when they made the movie in the 1950s.
Now, isn't Paisano like Italian for peasant?
Yeah, I thought like so. Or maybe there must be another version. Unless I'm not saying it correctly, but I think I am. And we'll they've got a beautiful...
What's that?
Oh, no, it's the one with the gun over his... across his shoulders. That's the one.
Yep, that's the one.
Sorry, this is not making any sense. We're looking at it on the computer.
It's the billboard outside Marfa about Giant, and it's James Dean with a gun on his shoulders, the car, and a hotel or building
that's
in the
so
background.
That's so kooky. In my mind, it was going to be black and white.
No, that's full colour.
And the speaker sits next to the car.
So that must be quite important. Out of place, really. It's just this music coming out of...
I don't know where. It's very Texas. Very Marfa, actually. So the Hotel Paisano is a beautiful hotel. Still quite similar to what it was back then, I would imagine. And they've got an excellent giant display. So there's lots of old photographs and memorabilia there.
Well, that is, I mean, I'm sure that James Dean lovers and also lovers of old Hollywood, I mean, realistically, there's so much, you know, you could start at Palm Springs, for example, and see all those beautiful old design and stunning homes in Palm Springs and then somehow or another track your way across to the desert and sort of get a bit more of like another aspect of old Hollywood.
Yeah. Yes, especially if you had a lot of time you could do that. You could take your time, explore. It would be great.
So now I think the funny thing about Texas, which we talked about earlier, is that a lot of people associate Texas with Australia, that Australia is just like Texas but in the Pacific.
Yes, someone once told me that Australia was just Texas in the Pacific, and I was mortified. And then I went to Texas and I'm not quite so mortified anymore because you hear all this stuff about Texans. And I guess it's the same as you hear all that stuff about Australians, and some of it is true, but most of it is not. People there, especially in places like El Paso and Marfa, because they're so close to the border, they're not. They're conservative in some ways, and they're not conservative in others. They're not. They realise that there's a relationship between their cities and the cities over the border. In fact, I was a bit gutted because the week before I arrived in El Paso, Donald Trump went down to El Paso to talk about his wall. People weren't happy. But Beto O'Rourke, who is a presidential hopeful for 2020, is from El Paso, and he was there with Willie Nelson talking about why we don't need the wall.
Oh, that's
so I missed all that. I was very disappointed.
Well, look, I just reckon it's great that that happened.
Yes.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the final moments of the Escape Hour.
It's already finished.
It's already gone.
What's next?
Oh, well, next week, actually, we are going cruising.
Oh, in the regular sense. LGBTI sense.
Yeah, we're going cruising with the Royal Caribbean.
Oh, lovely.
We're having Cameron Mannix on for the... And he might have some explaining to do.
Oh, a little bit, yes. We'll talk about that.
We'll see if they'll let us talk about that.
Well,
you know, some good PR.
Talking about explaining, I think we talked a little bit about the progressive in Texas now with the in terms of LGBTI, it's probably not the most progressive states. There's
I wondered
in
that.
In terms of laws.
I don't really know.
There's no statewide anti-discrimination laws in Texas. Obviously, they follow some of the federal laws, but there's no statewide anti-discrimination, although in some provinces there are. So there are some challenges still. It's quite religious in some part of Texas, maybe not in Marfa, El Paso, but in other parts it can be challenging. Yes.
Without doubt. I think that there would be lots of people there that wouldn't have the opportunity to really meet people from the LGBTI community.
It's weird that you say that because when I was at the gas station in Fort Stockton, there was the most magnificent young man called Gigi serving at the gas station with the full turban, and he was as snarky as all get up, and I thought, how do you wash up in Fort Stockton? And then another gorgeous young man in full makeup serving me in Marfa one day. So, probably not as bad as you think.
That's what we're learning about Texas. So the end explainer is head on down to Texas. Mm, it's not all steaks and big hats.
You could, plenty of those too.
Plenty of those too. Well, there's nothing wrong with a big hat. And of course, you've got the stunning Austin, which is, you know, music capital of the United States.
Fort Worth, which is a beautiful city, not very big, but very, like, if you want art and cowboys, that's another great place to go.
Art and cowboys?
Yeah, I love art and cowboys.
That's so my language.
I think that's something we're going to have to do at some point. Arts and cowboys.
All right.
That's a perfect theme for this, right?
It is. It is a very good theme. Thank you, Carrie, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We had a great time. Stefan, lovely hanging out with you.
Hey, lovely to be here.
And we will see everyone next week. We're going cruising.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.